Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Hey, Jarvis Smith here from Lean Into Clean. This is UK Health Radio. Happy Monday, everybody. Gosh, there has been an astonishing amount of things happen in this last week, hasn't there? So today is the Conference of Parties, the Climate Conference in Baku, Azerbaijan. There's a bit of hot news, actually, because it literally started today. The news is latest, which I'm going to just highlight because our show is all about the health of the planet, the health of people, the health of our environment. We're calling it Lean Into Clean, but really it's an opportunity for you guys to clean up your lifestyles in the best way possible based on some of the information that we share with you. So thank you for joining us. So today's news is, as part of COP29, the UN has warned 2024 will be the hottest year on record. Now, that seems to be happening every year, so that will be possibly no surprise to you. But this is the important bit. A particular focus will be how countries plan to limit long-term global temperature rises to 1.5 degrees. Now, many of you will know that the reason the Paris Agreement was set up in 2015 at the Conference of Parties was so that the world's nation states and world leaders and countries could commit to keeping the temperature below 1.5 degrees. Now, this is fact. In the last year, the average temperature over the last 12 months has been above 1.5 degrees. Not much, not 1.6, but it has been above 1.5. Now, while this year has seen an average temperature of 1.5 above the pre-industrial era, which is essentially when it started, the UN says the vital target, and this is critical, has not yet been breached as it refers to longer term trends. Now, let's just rewind that for a second. This is the first year that the temperature has been above 1.5, which is our critical temperature rising amount where we actually don't know what happens when we go above that temperature for long periods of time. Now, bearing in mind, this is the first year it's happened. It's the first year that it's been audited. The UN is basically saying that it hasn't breached because it's based on the longer term. But for the last 3 years, consistently, the temperature has got hotter and hotter and hotter. So I think we need to be very clear in understanding that actually we have actually breached our goal. Now, why is that? It's because fossil fuel usage is still happening, deforestation is still happening, and essentially what we needed to do was reduce our carbon emissions by 50%, which is basically fossil fueled usage, by 50% by 2030, and then we needed to massively decline it from that period. Problem is, since this has been announced, it's actually increasing on a daily basis. Now, I don't want to scare you by saying this because, of course, human beings are adaptable. You know, it's clear that perhaps our biodiversity is not currently adaptable. The big issue is that we actually do not know, because it's unprecedented, what happens if the temperatures go above the 1.5, particularly if they head to 2 or 3, which is what's now predicted based on our current projections. It means that weather patterns are going to get worse. It means that more water will be pulled out of the seas and then dumped on parts of the world. It means that there will be countries around the world, and America's a really good example of this. Even in New York, just yesterday, because of the arid land in New York, and this is not like California or on the West Coast, this is East Coast in the North, it has the driest land on record, and they've had numerous fires, not forest fires, park fires in the parks like Central Park, etc., etc. It's absolutely unprecedented. So what can we do? Well, the answer to that is that we can take personal responsibility, make sure that our families are taking personal responsibility, make sure that we're awakening our friends and the communities around us to start taking personal responsibility. What I don't think we can do is rely on world leaders and governments to get this right, because they haven't been. So this needs to be, and I've always believed this since I started really being a champion and pioneer and now seen as a thought leader in this very issue we call the climate crisis. I've always believed it will be at the grassroots where the change comes. Why? Because us individuals, which is roughly 90% of the purchasing power across the world, that is actually economically owned and controlled by 10% of the population, these people we call elite, we are people that drive the economic money makes the world go round structure. So if you really think about that, yes, the 10% are in control of how the money is made, but the 90% are the very people that drive the economy, because we are the people with the purchasing power. And what I think is even more cool than that is, and I don't want to be too confrontational with this, but if you imagine that most of the rules that are currently in place, which dictate our economic structure, are male made. They were made post-industrial revolution, post-wars, etc. And actually, 85% of most consumption in the world is done by women. So this is really a kind of a non-polarized but very polarized situation that we've got ourselves into, where these man-made systems now are giving women the opportunity to perhaps take back the helm and change the way that we do consume things and actually create a better world for our future generations. So I just think some of those things are completely fascinating. Now, spiritually and philosophically, I come from a place where everything is perfect and we do live in a yin yang environment. And actually, if we were able to assess this outside experience that we're having, which is climate crisis, propaganda, etc., etc., and actually we were to internalize this and realize that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, then it may be actually the biggest wake-up call that we've possibly had as spiritual beings having a human experience, which you might want to call reality, you might want to call a holographic experience. So I think what I'm trying to say is that yes, there's a lot of noise and negativity and worry and stress going on in the world, but at the same time, there is a lot of internal esotericism and magic and holistic approach and different ways of us looking at these situations, which I do believe we set them up so that we can awaken from our slumber of being caught up in a matrix style environment. So I just want to tell you some of the other things that are going on at COP, because I just think it would be quite important just before we bring on our guest today. And I'm really excited about today's guest because we get a deeper dive, but I'm going to come back to you shortly. So COP kicked off. Greta Thunberg, who I'm sure you're all very familiar with, is one of the most prolific, important activists of our time. She started Fridays for Futures, which is essentially this young teenage girl started striking on a Friday at her school in Sweden and then became the biggest activist on the planet. There are now tens of thousands of activists around the world that have been stimulated and awakened by Greta Thunberg's commitment to that. She has said she's not going to COP. Why? Because COP has become a farcical event that is essentially governed by oil lobbying, and actually there's been a lot of controversy around the COP president already having conversations got set up actually by the BBC. I think it was the BBC, certainly some journalists got set up pretending to be oil organizations trying to do deals with this guy, and he got caught on camera. But Greta Thunberg refuses to attend COP over the human rights, which of course is Azerbaijan human rights, and also greenwashing, which I'm sure you will know the term. So, let's look at this for what it is. World leaders, a lot of world leaders have decided not to attend COP because, well, I don't think they believe that, things are actually going to get done. And one of the biggest world leaders of our time is Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, back in 2016, pulled out of the Paris Agreement, and then Joe Biden then returned it and got America back into the Paris Agreement. And he is now stating at this time that he's going to be pulling out of the Paris Agreement again. Donald Trump says that the climate crisis is a hoax. I think we can safely, hand on heart, say that clearly it's not a hoax, because we're seeing weather patterns, catastrophic weather patterns, killing people literally on a daily basis now around different parts of the world, and even happening on our very doorstep in Europe with the floods and things that have been happening. And that's because we don't get to hear a lot of the news about what's happening in the global south, in Pakistan, in America, in I mean it's just ridiculous. So just kind of focusing on that, let me bring in today's guest. Today's guest is Ben, and I'm never quite connect say his surname correctly, but I'm going to try. Vibe?
It's Viva.
No. Huh?
Viva.
Viva! Yes! It's because it's written in such a way that just completely confuses my name. So we got Ben Viva here with us. He was here with us last week. We actually touched and scratched the surface of three subjects which I think are really close to Ben's heart. It was mental health. It was propaganda, which I think we're going to get right into, and then we talked about death. But I think Ben, welcome to the show. Really great to have you back again. Thank you for coming back, because you are so insightful and interesting to talk to.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It is great to have you back. But Ben, let's talk about Donald Trump for a minute. Let's talk about propaganda for a minute. Let's talk about, let's say, legacy media. And Donald Trump's approach, which is actually kind of, getting more support from non-legacy media. Perhaps you might want to call them independent media, if people even want to call them media. But I mean, look, what state of propaganda, in your opinion, do you think we're in the world today?
I mean, he is a prime example, right, to start with on that issue of propaganda, because he's not a, I mean, speaking of how he handles, climate being a hoax, he's not a learned man, right? It's anytime you have someone in leadership who doesn't really have an appreciation for learning, for being a student of anything, then you're not sending a message to your populace to, like we were talking about before, to be curious, to be inquisitive, to do deep dives on information and vet information, right, on where it's coming from. And when our, legacy media is now run by punditry instead of traditional journalists who, have an ethics that they follow. There's a they put, information and research through a process. That process is now not what's prioritized. Right, it's clicks and views, and it's creating urgency where there is none, just so that you get your ratings. Because
We talked
our
about this last week, didn't we? We talked about that most people, when they do read news, particularly in the current culture of news, most people read the headlines. They may read the first paragraph or two if you're really lucky, but very rarely do people dive down into the full story. And unfortunately, the headlines, which is the attention grabber, the first few paragraphs, which is to install the headline, and then actually, if you get into the news, which you'd like to think most journalists would be unbiased, it's that propaganda war that we're kind of fighting against, isn't it? Is these short tastes of headlines that then people take away, layer their own kind of understanding of it in, and then that's what happens, is it all goes into the cycle of what can we call it, misinformation? I mean, God, where do we start with propaganda? What does propaganda mean to you? Let's just talk about that for a minute.
Well, propaganda is, it's an insidious practice. And I think a lot of people miss the fact that it is It's not by accident. It is not created by accident. It is very intentional, right? There is a strategy behind it, and it starts with what we've been talking about, right? So if you create enough overstimulation and you create enough chaos over stimulation, right? You exhaust your audience. And that exhaustion is an intentional act, right? There's a strategy built to make sure your audience is becoming exhausted so that they don't read things in full. They don't vet the sources where they're getting the information. And the more you do that and see that method succeeding, the easier it is for propaganda to slide in because people stop questioning what they're reading, stop questioning who they're getting information from, right? And disseminating it. And so yeah, that's why it is an insidious practice, because it doesn't, some of it can be very blatant. But the most effective ones are, it feels like, it's like saying the best lies are half truths.
Yeah,
Right? So it can
and it's
feel that
interesting,
way.
isn't it? Because the information, it goes out in the world in such a way that it will stimulate or trigger a bias within the individual, i.e. what, the framework of where they're operating from, and then they will run with it with the passion and compassion of their own belief system. And this is why I talk a lot nowadays about people being addicted to the outside world, being addicted to the relationship that they have when their eyes are open and their sensory fields are engaged with something on the outside of them. And actually, if we look at the Eastern or the Buddhist and the Tibetan and the Taoist and the more philosophical, even the Druid and the pagan response, pre-religion, pre-bureaucracy, pre-media, etc. People did have a relationship not only on the outside, but also with themselves on the inside and also with nature and everything else. So we've become addicted, haven't we, to this stimulus that is now unfortunately driven by a propagandist machine.
Oh, sure, absolutely, right? So that's why I say it is intentional. It is based on a strategy, right? It's not something that's happening by accident, which is why the onus really is on everyone individually to just pay, to really pay more attention to who you're listening to, and also not take everything at face value, like not just listen to one voice, right?
I remember
Because
years ago when I first started my yoga journey, I remember I turned up with my I'd already met my shamanic and yoga teacher, Judith Selig, who was based in the UK, amazing woman. I remember going to one of the first retreats, and I remember one of the wise kind of crew said to me, it might be good for you to, when you read stuff, just to feel in yourself whether that might be true or not, rather than just accept what you're reading as truth. And I it landed with me because I was like, oh my God, I've never even thought or felt that kind of very process. And I've actually done it every day since. So when I watch the news now or read something, I don't go, this is true. I go, I wonder why they're telling us that.
Well, yeah, because it triggered. I mean, we're emotional creatures, right? So our first instinct is to have an emotional response, which is, and then you have immediate, gratification in feeding that. But to your point, right, the more, holistic and like shamanistic approach, right, is to give yourself time. Give yourself time to let that information settle and really connect it to your emotions and logic and kind of let it play out. But when we just instinctually, respond immediately, that's going to be on raw emotion. And that's how that stuff thrives. That's how it's easy to get people, ginned up and riled up and think that something's urgent when it might not
Yeah,
necessarily warrant that.
absolutely. Listen, Ben, we're going to have to go to commercial break. I'm really sorry, everybody, because as you can see, Ben and I are really passionate about getting into this. And I think it'd be useful for everybody just to hear some perspectives on how other people assess the news and the information that we are receiving on a minute-by-minute basis, second-by-second basis. But let's cut to commercial break. We will be back shortly. Do not go away.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, welcome back. We have got a hot show today. I'm here with Ben Vibe. I get it right?
Viva!
Viva! There's something about your surname I'm never going to get right, but let's just play with it.
Like,
hey, you might be wondering, those of you that are joining us, listening in, you know, what kind of qualifies Ben to be, you're talking about this stuff. Well, I tell you what, he's a human being. And he has a voice and a heart, and he's just somebody that I love and really enjoy conversing with. So I thought, well, why do it when we're together and no one else is listening? And let's do it when everybody's listening, when there's, you know, millions of people listening. So, you know, it's just another opportunity for, you know, just to hear another perspective. I think one of the big problems is echo chamber. So most people consume their kind of news in a safe space. And I've been really thinking about uncomfortable conversations. And I think, Ben, you and I, although we love each other and respect each other, we're not scared to go to the places that a lot of people won't. But anyway, if you're just joining us, we're just talking a little bit about propaganda, trying to get into it. I started by talking about, you know, Donald Trump, because obviously there's a lot of controversy around this person. I mean, he's probably one of the most prolific subjects, I think is a better word for propaganda than anyone else. Yeah, there's the Kim Jong-uns, and there's Vladimir Putin, but I think Trump, it's certainly in the West, is one of those that creates more propaganda scenarios than anything else. I'm not saying he's a propagandist, because I would be rude to do that, but he definitely strikes that up. I mean, Ben, just tell us a little bit about your kind of, because I know you were talking about Trump and then we went off on a tangent, but what were you going to say?
Well, he is a unique representation, because if people aren't used to being around someone who's narcissistic, right? And not as a clinical diagnosis, but there's, you know, right, but clearly when someone is led by their ego more than anything, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever drives attention and support to their ego, to they're going towards, it makes it hard to understand what they want, right? Because they never necessarily want one thing. Well, they usually want whatever drives the most attention to themselves, mm-hmm. right? Which means mm-hmm. that propaganda is very effective for them, because they will go in any direction that gets them attention and support and drives loyalists towards them, right? So so they might take completely opposite positions on issues, right? Depending on the time, depending on how they feel people are responding to them. Mm. If it's getting them a positive response, they'll continue in that direction, right? So it is very hard to read something like that. It also makes it easy for people to not question where they've come from. And we should question our leaders and dig into what motivates people in leadership, right? You know, when they say they represent the populace, well, Trump doesn't represent the populace. He was born into elite money, and he's always been there, and he's wanted to always be in the country club. And right, he would never freely choose to spend his time with the masses, with the quote unquote average person. That's not who he is. That's not who he's ever been.
No, but he's really appealed to them, hasn't he? He's really appealed to all colors, creeds, ages, sizes.
Well, there's, and I think there's something to that too. So, you know how, if you found money on the street, I think the average person, if you found money on the street, cash on the street, mm-hmm. how long would the average person wait? Because I think we've all done this, right? You know, most people would keep it. You might wait a little bit, look around, see, you know, but if we had the chance, when we have the chance to get away with something, most people take it. Most people in court plead not guilty, right? Even if hand in the cookie jar, you've been caught, you know, red-handed, we still, because there's a chance, and it's totally legal to take that chance, right? There's still a chance we can get away with it. And Trump is a guy who has gotten away with it his whole life, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's a voyeurism and a vicariousness that we all have a part of ourselves that if we could get away with something, there's a part of us that will try to get away with it. Mm. And I think people like that element about someone like him, is that he really has gone his whole life without having a comeuppance.
Yeah. Let's take it away from Trump for a minute and just look at the Trump narrative. Yeah. So not talking about the individual. Let's look at this guy. Because he's a really good example of the propaganda machine, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, not too long ago, pre him becoming a president-elect, he was probably one of the most prolific TV hosts, hosting The Apprentice, Oprah Winfrey, all those big celebrities would have him on as their friend and shout how brilliant he was and blah, blah, blah. So he was part of the machine. Yeah.
Yes.
Then he becomes, he's running his presidential campaign. The Democrats are starting to get very worried because they realize that, this is a Republican that has clout, that people are getting behind, et cetera, et cetera. Suddenly, the whole machine, apart from maybe one mainstream news channel, Fox News, perhaps, the whole machine turns against him globally. How is that possible? Like, what, from your perspective, how is that possible?
Well, I think at the beginning of his candidacy, people did take it as a joke, right? And there are people who are famous who jump into races like this, and they largely do it for attention, right? And then they get out.
Yeah.
They don't have an honest chance.
Yeah,
And
I
I
mean,
think,
Kanye West being
right? Well, sure,
one that
right?
springs to mind.
And he is an example too of someone who is a celebrity. M more than anything, he's a celebrity, right? He'll slap his name on anything. So I don't think a lot of people took it seriously. What they liked was this facade of he doesn't have to rely on the system. He's wealthy, potentially more wealthy than anyone who's ever run successfully, right? So he doesn't have to rely on a system to give him support. He's just doing it on his own. And so that starts to rally, your ragtag group of people who say, yeah, we're against the system too. We don't want to rely on that. When, to your point, it's bogus. He's always been a part of the machine. And, even the degree of his wealth has always been in question. So I think, speaking of propaganda, right, so much of his aura has been built on kind of smoke and mirrors. It's hard to know what's accurate and honest about
Yeah,
him
it is. It
or
is.
not. And it's easy to take that very far, and clearly it succeeded.
And I think, he's an extreme character. Yes, again, he's a human being, so I don't want to be disrespectful, but he's an extreme public figure in, and character in the mainstream.
Yes.
But then I think actually you can take that narrative to just about every world leader that is on the stage. The difference is that most of them don't have quite as much charisma, dare I say it,
Sure.
or aptitude to be able to play the press, come out with those sound bites. But if you look at all kind of leaders, they've all got like polarized positions in everything. So how do we navigate through this current time where news is fed to us in such a way that it means that it's re basically jungling our confidence and our own natural thought process? How do we get into,
Yeah.
being better versions of ourselves in the world that is controlled by this so much noise that we can't hear ourselves?
I think, well, noise is a key word there. Yeah. I think in terms of individual responsibility, and I know I battle with this myself, is getting ourselves to get our patience back. Get our patience back for not feeling this need and this obsession, to need that stimulation, to be hooked in, to be being fed information all day long. Right? Because most stories are not urgent to us in our daily lives, right? So that's the start. Like, that's the starting place, because that also allows us to slow down, right? Slow down our system. It lowers our blood pressure a little bit. We don't feel this urgency to just be hooked in and be overstimulated. I think if we allow ourselves to do that, that's what will get us ourselves to a place where we can better disseminate what we're receiving, right? Instead of just feeling like we're in a flood. That's why I called it chaos overstimulation, right? You throw a million problems at people, they're going to stop realizing what to prioritize, right? It's just going to become a flood, and then you're either going to feel exhausted and give up and just let the flood take over, right? Or You're going to try and tackle them one by one, but you're going to have no idea where to start or which ones are most important. And that's how the propaganda machine is successful. It's a complete flood of chaos and overstimulation. So
It is indeed. I think the thing that worries me is, and there's obviously been a lot of noise about this lately, is it's not so much the adults, because you'd like to think that we have the opportunity to be able to say no, yes or no. But the younger generations that are born into this system, that have the mobile phones, have access to them, are constantly and we're already seeing the mental health knock-on effect with our young people. I think that's the thing that most worries me. Ben, I wanna, if it's all right with you, is play your first song, because I think the title of it is quite in line with what we are talking about. But tell us the song you're gonna play, Ben, first, and then you can tell me after why you chose it.
It's called Wild Things by Alessia Cara. Really love listening to it almost daily, like when I'm on a bike ride, especially. The message of that one is really about how we don't need to just wait for people to tell us it's okay to move forward, or to give us a seat at the table, or whatever, right? Because for the majority of us, that's not going to be provided to us freely. It's something we have to really create our own opportunities and continue pushing. And so Wild Things is really about, how do we stay independent and push for that and be okay with that.
Beautiful, beautiful. This is Wild Things by Alessia Cara.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Jarvis Leaning to Clean on UK Health Radio. I'm here with Ben. We're talking about the propaganda machine and how it stimulates us with over information, so we're perhaps not able to really clearly make decisions based on how we truly feel rather than what we are told. I know it's a bit challenging, this conversation, but I think a healthy one. Ben and I have committed to talking about things that might not necessarily get talked about beyond the surface level. So, Ben, look, we just had a played your song, and it was a beautiful song. Why do you play that song every day? What does it do for you?
I mean, we talk a lot about, the machine or the elite, right? And these kind of elements. And I like songs like this because it reminds us that a lot of what we actually respect is when people are rebellious, when they don't just wait to be told what to do
Isn't it
or
the only
what
thing
they
that's
can.
ever really broken
Yes.
systems for change?
Yes, I mean, every successful movement that's ever happened was a people's movement, started by
Right?
grassroots work, started by people who weren't getting support from the big infrastructure or from the government or from giant entities, right? And so, but instead of waiting, it took people being willing to be like, all right, let's do it on our own and grow it however we can.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's look at that. Who is there in the world today that is trying to break down this rather overweighted, in my humble opinion, rather farcical situation, propaganda-led, media-led, big business-led, tech-led, in some cases leadership, nation-state-led? Who is there out there at the moment that you think is fighting against this propaganda machine?
I mean, I do think, I mean, you mentioned people like Greta Thunberg, right? I do think there is, I don't particularly like focusing on a youth movement, like as age as a descriptor,
Yeah.
but I do think there is more than ever a prioritization from young people realizing that they can make a values driven demand, right? Instead of just accepting that the machine and the system, right, and the infrastructures that we have built are built on exploitation. They're built on extracting from most of us, right? And I think more and more, and I've seen this directly from especially mentoring a lot of young creative people, like in film and games, that they're willing to not only make the ask, but make the demand of, you know, what is your ethos? What is your value system? Like when they're talking to companies or for government jobs too, there's a boldness there that I don't think, you know, I'm 41 and I know coming up, I was still taught that old adage of, nope, you shut up and you just work hard and you don't complain and you don't fight for other people, just focus on yourself. Right? And I don't think that's what's driving people anymore, the young people. I think they
Well, it
realize.
can't be, can it? I mean, it literally cannot be, because we live in a, I mean, if that was the case, we would be such conceited, disconnected, arrogant, and I'm afraid to say we probably are living like that with those frequencies. But at the same time, we have this heart. We have this love, we have this wanting to be accepted. And you know, I know some of it is not perhaps the best narrative, i.e. wanting to be loved and wanting to be accepted, but surely that's got to be the kind of the reset opportunity, right? It's like, it just, I tell you, I'm really finding it hard to get my outside world view around this current situation. And what I keep coming back to is that if everything is truly perfect, which I believe in my spiritual nature, I'm not saying my mental, physical, and emotional are that, but certainly my spiritual aspect of myself feels like everything is perfect, then isn't it perhaps true that we have all conspired with everything that there is in all of existence to create this situation as part of it, together with it, in
Oh, it
order to
is.
evolve?
Well, it is, yeah, because we're not willing to individually that there's a sacrifice we have to be willing to make, and community-wise there is, right? And none of us are willing to dismantle. I shouldn't say none of us, but
Many, many of us,
as a
yeah.
species, right? We haven't been willing to dismantle systems because it means that we all have to, any transition means you have to take a hit in the interim, right? It's not necessarily going to happen fast. And yeah, so that, but that's what dismantling something takes.
And I think because of that, I know that, again, I'm really trying to explore my philosophical approach to how I live myself and try and get that out into the ethers, into the information that we're being bombarded with. I truly believe that if we are not taking responsibility as, you know, sentient beings in a universe that we believe is real, if we're not taking responsibility as our part in that, then our subconscious or our spiritual aspect of ourselves will create situations for us to wake up or take notice. And I think it's
Absolutely.
very factually, you know, premeditated or written that, you know, most people wake up when they're closest to dying or have had a near-death experience, and that's what really changes their life. There are some exceptions to the rule. You know, often when women become pregnant and they have a baby, that's another massive turning point in people's lives, in certainly women's lives, when they want to live differently. But there aren't many situations that happen like that unless they're near death. So, yeah, maybe this is just a grand awakening. Premeditated by this thing we're calling a crisis or near-death experience, but
Oh, I think it is. It's because regardless of whether people, I mean, speaking of the climate crisis, right? Because the climate crisis isn't just about carbon, right? So regardless of where any one individual prioritizes the central mission of climate action, people can feel that there is a series of crises, and there's connective tissue to all of them, right? And And that requires some kind of act from everyone to change their lives in some way, or to think more responsibly, or to curb excess.
Mm.
But it does. I mean, as a species, we are used to, and there's, and those are a lot of the best stories. Oh, it took, you know, the hero to hit rock bottom.
Exactly. Right?
Before they realized they are due for a transition.
Yeah.
And then you're with them. Then you're with them because they didn't just start high, right? Where it's hard to relate.
Mm.
You know, most of us can't relate to, if someone said, well, I've never had any struggles.
Yeah,
it's hard to relate to that.
Yeah, of course,
right?
It is.
Most people have some kind of struggle,
and it isn't that. I mean, talking about, because we both come from media, Ben and I. You know, we run the My Green Pod magazine, which has been in the space of 15 years. Ben's been making films and actually worked for a lot of cool companies, the Netflixes of the world, and people like that. And so, media is really strong for us. Where was I going with that? That I was really talking about the hero's journey. Isn't most narratives in the film world based on the hero's journey, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And within that, I think something that a lot of us don't consider is we like to think of ourselves as the hero of our own story.
Yes, we do.
So then it's hard to feel like, are we ever wrong?
Yeah.
Right. And to catch ourselves and question ourselves, have we been wrong? Have we made mistakes?
Yeah.
Well, of course we have, but it's hard to get our, to admit that to ourselves and really.
It is. It is. And I think that's the biggest thing right now, isn't it? Is that if we can start to, and again, take responsibility and you know, let's look at that as a country, as an example. You know, the country that I live in, certainly. I mean, there's worst case scenarios in your country as well, but you know, we are a country that has become incredibly rich and powerful through the rape and pillaging through our, you know, through our history, and then slavery, you know, from sugar and cotton and everything else through the Industrial Revolution. And then we became powerfully tiny but powerful across the world with this thing we called a Commonwealth. And, you know, it's only just now that these stories are beginning to be being told. And that's just one example of one tiny country that has completely, you know, manipulated scenarios. And, you know, that was all built on propaganda and the, you know, storytelling and hidden away. And so the truth never actually comes to prevail, does it? And that's what is the greatest healer.
Well, yeah. And to your point, especially coming from, you know, I mean, I come from the US, now live in the UK, like coming from these places that you know, have been empires and had a lot of power. And, you know, there's still a high level of selectivity on how history is taught, right? And how these events unfolded were taught. In the U.S., for example, it depends on where in the country you are, how they teach about their civil war, about the U.S. Civil War. It depends. Yeah. It is not the same story. It is not the same thing you're taught. So that just takes us right back to, please remain curious. And I implore everyone to not just take everything at face value, even in schools, right? The way we're taught, you know, seek information all over as much as you can and engage people in conversation. Because, from powerful places like the UK and US, it's still not the same story across the board.
I've been listening to the great BBC series podcast Empire, and being part Indian. My family, you know, had to leave India through partition, had to leave Africa because Indians weren't wanted in Eastern Africa, ended up in the UK. And then I listened back, and one of the things that came to light was that India, back in the day, was the richest nation in the world. It had the best global world economy in the world. And then all of that was taken by the East Indian Company and, you know, all of the pirates and everything else. And then, it, you know, and that, so, you know, maybe there's an, maybe the pendulum's swinging now in the other way, where, you know, India's and China are the fastest growing economies in the world. Maybe the pendulum's swinging back in the other way. Ben, let's go to your, I'm sorry, you might have a comment on that, but let's go to your next song. So comment first, please, and then tell us the next song that you've chosen.
Oh, I mean, I think there is something to be said about kind of the rise of the rise back of places like India and China, especially China, to the point I was going to make real quick, was the idea of I guess we would call Western capitalism, as being the only way to have like a highly functioning economy, you know, right, or something like that. That's now being proven that that is not the only method, which is also why you have a rise of authoritarianism, that other methods can also achieve that. Whether they are good for or healthy or not is another
Yeah,
debate, but.
is another story. Yeah, I think we're in fascinatingly inspirational, challenging, but incredible, but chaotic times.
Yeah.
Again, all the polarizations, right?
Well, this is why just having discussions, these kind of discussions, regardless of if we agree, is the thing, right? Is because we're being told by leaders, like we've talked about, that being divisive and everything is about sides and opponents and competition. Well, that doesn't stir healthy debate or conversation.
No, but it does keep us controllable. I mean, there's loads of, if you look at the classic war books, it's divide and conquer. That's kind of, and that unfortunately, we're still kind of living in that paradigm. However, I do believe there is a new paradigm awaiting us if we are willing to let go of our past programming and actually allow ourselves to just evolve into something new. I truly, truly believe that is certainly my experience. Certainly started to work with people and they're believing that's their experience. And I think you find it through inner play, meditation and some of the sacred ancient arts and getting back to know yourself. Ben, let's play your second song. I think bearing in mind that it's probably going to play out to the end, which I think would probably be quite a healthy way to end the show. Ben, thank you so much
Oh,
for
thank you.
joining me again. We have literally run out of time again. It's like, I think I need to speak to my producer and see whether we can just get like a whole day show for me and you.
Oh, let's do it. Yes. I'm in.
Maybe we'll do like the Christmas Day special or something.
Cool.
Just
I'm
kidding.
totally
Anything you'd like to share that we haven't discussed that you wish I'd asked you or you wish you'd got across that you might want to now before we play your second song?
Yeah, I mean, just that last bit, right? And touching on from before, having conversations is the way forward. Because when if we allow people like leaders to push divisiveness, then that's exactly what keeps us from being able to talk to people we don't necessarily agree with. And that's the only way to convince, you know, have honest debate and convince people and turn people towards a new perspective, or at least open them up to consider it and have a dialogue. Instead of it being a fight and every conversation being about winning.
Yeah,
So,
I love that. I
yeah.
love that. It's very, very healthy. Ben, it's been an absolute pleasure. Before we go, I'm just going to remind everybody, today it's COP29. We actually had our magazine issue go live today. The My Green Pod edition of COP29 is live. You can go to mygreenpod.com/magazine to download your free copy. If you are stimulated or interested by the conversations that Ben and I are having, join or sign up at ompresents.com, ompresents.com, because Ben and I are going to be hanging out there and creating some wild events that we're talking about and lots of
Yes.
cool stuff going on. So we're in the process of setting up some really cool stuff happening, starting in later on in December and then into the new year. Ben, we love you. Thank you for joining us. We must
Love
have
you
you
too,
on
man.
again soon. I think a bit of a spoiler alert, I think Ben and I are talking about setting up a podcast. So we might be having more of these conversations a
Yes.
lot more regularly very, very soon. Thank you to Johan, our producer, and is always smiling in the back and nodding and doesn't say anything, but we love you. UK Health Radio, I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Ben. Enjoy this next song. Ben, what are we playing?
It's called This Is Me. It's from the soundtrack of The Greatest Showman. Has a similar vibe, I think, to Wild Things. It's just appreciating all these vast perspectives we talk about, right? Everyone has something to bring to the table, and don't ostracize people, you know, like to just celebrate people, because a lot of us know what it can feel like to feel down or to feel bullied or to feel ostracized. And so this song really pushes back against that.
Yeah, I love this song. We love this. We love this film. We love the soundtrack. I would say this is the modern Eye of the Tiger. If any of you are old enough to remember the Eye of the Tiger and how it stimulates you to go out and make a difference in the world, this is the song that's going to do that for you. Go and make a difference today. I look forward to seeing you this time next week. Lots of love from me and Ben, and thank you. This is me.